That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all scripture the things concerning himself." Verse 44 and 45. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this blessed morning. Thank you for this gathering of believers. Thank you for everything that you've been doing in our lives, God. Continue drawing us closer and closer to you day by day, and help us just learn to follow you correctly and worship correctly, and help us, Lord, live a life for you. And bless Rod with a great sermon this morning, and bless the rest of this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.
Romans chapter 1, I'll read verses 1 through 4. Rod is soaking up all the oxygen of the traditional Christmas text in the Sunday school hour, so you have to scratch around, see what you can find that's left that he isn't going to deal with there. How about Romans 1? Follow as I read, beginning in verse 1. "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." So let's start with the title of the message right away at the beginning. The outline's on the back of your bulletin. The title says, "The Gospel Before Jesus Came." The Gospel Before Jesus Came. Will you agree that usually people connect the word gospel with Jesus Christ in the New Testament? In fact, the first four New Testament books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the four gospels. And Jesus sent the apostles as preachers of the gospel. The New Testament church was the base of operations for the spread of the gospel. Sinners were told to believe the gospel. Christians were told to defend the gospel. But what we're going to learn today is that when we consider the subject of the gospel, we must stretch our thinking not from Matthew to Revelation, but from Genesis to Revelation. Because we're talking about the gospel before Jesus came. In my extra reading for this message, I was reminded of two little poems that are on your bulletin on the back at the bottom there that help to capture the sense of what we need to remember about the relationship of the Old and New Testaments with regard to the gospel. You'll find these various places. William Hendrickson wrote a commentary on Romans, and on page 40, he included these two little poems. The old, that is the Old Testament, is by the new explained. Now, don't ever forget that. The Old Testament is not isolated from the new, but it's explained by the New Testament. The new is in the old contained. It's all there in seed form. The other part of it, the new is in the old concealed. Not everything that we find in the New Testament is opened right up in the Old Testament, but it's there in bud form and the flower blooms in the New Testament. The old is by the new revealed. Now that's basic, fundamental, absolutely necessary understanding of the Bible that we all need to have, those two little poems. So with that in mind, let Paul tell us about the gospel before Jesus came. Paul gives at least six descriptions that we want to review. Now, this is one of my tie-dyed shirt messages. Do you know what a tie-dyed shirt is? Have you seen that? How many of you own a tie-dyed shirt? Wow, a number of you own. You know, it's when all of these colors are there in the shirt and they're all kind of mixing and overlapping and connecting. And it's not distinct, red, blue, green. And you're going to find that in the points that we have, we're going to have kind of a tie-dyed approach, that things are going to be stated and restated in different ways. Keep that in mind. Point A, then, the gospel before Jesus came was a message with good news. Don't ever have the idea that the Old Testament is some kind of a heavy, scary, so difficult part of the Bible that it's not good news. Look what Paul is saying here in verse number 1, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, and he immediately goes to the Old Testament. Two parts to the original word gospel that Paul uses there in verse 1. The main part of the word is the idea of a message, a tale, a proclamation, information. At the beginning of Paul's word, gospel, are two letters. Oh, they're good letters. Good letters. They determine what kind of message it is. You can get all kinds of messages, can't you? You can get them from a professor. You can get them from a doctor. You can get messages of all sorts. That's why you always want these two words before what you're getting. Letters in our language, and they mean good. That's good. Now, those two letters are at the beginning of our word eulogy, E-U, a word that's good. That's what is usually heard at a funeral service. Who's going to give the eulogy, a good word about this person that has died? Or we have the word Eucharist, a word relating to the Lord's Supper. You see that those two letters, and when Paul uses that word, he wants to make sure that we understand we're talking about something good here. Good news, a good message, a good word. The gospel is a good news thing. Now, do you believe that? And don't answer yes right away. I want to know how you believe it, how you understand it, how you live it. This is good news, the gospel. It's full of help. It's full of hope. Forgiveness, deliverance, rescue, recovery, joy, life. Wow, that's good news for the soul of mankind. It's a message with good news. Now, the obvious question is whether the gospel is good news to you. I heard once about earwigs. You know what an earwig is, that little bug? And I saw this old movie where an earwig crawled in a guy's ear. And it drove him mad until it crawled out the other side. I want to know whether you're just hearing me or there's something crawling around inside of you saying, this is good news. Do we seem delighted with the gospel? Does it excite us to tell it, to hear it? With all the bad news in the world that comes by bushels, we want to make sure we relish the spiritual good news. So when Paul is talking to us, first chapter of Romans, first few verses, he mentions gospel. He says, I want to talk to you about good news. Before Jesus came. Point B, it was a message from God. Doesn't it say that there in verse 1? It's separated to the gospel of God. Now this astounds me. Can you imagine it? Wouldn't the sensible thing be to suppose that God would not be the author, the source of good news to sinners? What sense does that make?
God has been wronged. God has been offended. God has been rejected. God has been mocked. God has been blasphemed. And much, much more by sinful humanity. But God comes to us with good news? That's incredible.
Chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Romans, Paul writes like he's kind of a prosecuting attorney, like he's a lawyer, and he builds a solid case against mankind. He's just pouring it on in those first three chapters as to how sinful mankind really is. Chapter 3, verse 10, he says, and I'm not leaving anybody out. There's none righteous. No, not one. Chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the conclusion. Everybody's in this boat. Everybody's in this situation. Man naturally resists the authority, the oversight of God. The history of man's race is that way. And yet Paul says, here comes God with what? Good news to sinners. Folks, that's good news, that God would do that. He's its source. The good news of salvation descends from above. The plan and presentation of it all reaches sinners from the very one whom sinners should least expect it. And you know what? Verse 16, he supports that. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ either, for it's power. It's the power of God unto salvation. Boy, that's good news. Angels did not invent the gospel. Man should not imagine the gospel. How incredible for God to give the gospel. You see that? When we have a Christmas time and a Christmas celebration and a Christmas anything, we should be astounded that God would give the gospel. I mean, I really would expect another Noah situation. Maybe a couple get some good news, but the rest of the world destroyed. I wonder, can we doubt the concern of God for sinners? Don't ever doubt that, all right? Don't doubt it. For yourself, for somebody else in your life, a family member, whoever it might be,
Don't ever doubt that God has concern for sinners. You can tell them that. Should we not fill with more worship and praise to God? We see God's magnification of his love and his grace and his mercy and his kindness. The gospel is God's good news. I can say Merry Christmas. Why can I say Merry Christmas? Because the unexpected has happened. God brings good news. Merry Christmas, folks. I know it's a couple weeks early. But Paul expands his thoughts backward to the time before Jesus came. Mike died. I'm glad I didn't. Paul says, now let's back up. What are we going to say here? Verse number one, he's talking about the gospel of God. Now he says, back up. Point C, it was a message of promise. Isn't that what he says in verse 2? Which he promised before. He promised it before through the prophets. Did you ever see the words coming attraction? Did you ever see that on a poster somewhere? Maybe it was a poster in the grocery store in the window that was advertising the Ringling Brothers Circus. Coming attraction. On the poster might be the performance dates, some pictures of animal and human acts, some catchy phrases in bright colors like, the greatest show on earth. And then you might see more posters, then ads in the newspaper, and hear announcements on the radio and on the TV. And you find friends and family discussing, the circus is coming. Did you know the circus is coming? It's going to be here in 3 months. But it's coming. It's coming. All of this would occur weeks, months before the circus come to town. But it all has something to do with the circus. Every word, every poster, every color, every bit of it is all about the circus. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And the kids are saying, Daddy, can we go? It stirs interest. It promises what is to come. And you know, people are so confident just seeing the posters, hearing the ads on they're so sure of all of that they buy tickets already. Wait a minute, it's not going to be here for 3 months. I'm buying in, though. I've seen the advertisements. I've heard all about it. I've seen the excitement already, and I want to be part of that. Here's my money for a circus ticket. You see, they believe that the posters and the ads and the radio and TV spots are all true, and they stake their hard-earned money on what's promised. They respond to the good news about the circus, really, as if it has already come to town. And they're just about every minute from now, they're going to enjoy that circus. That's what Paul is talking about with the gospel. The Old Testament is a poster of promise about a coming attraction. Paul says that the gospel of God, which was accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ, was announced before. God gave assurances prior to it happening. Did you ever hear the word Messiah? Through the Old Testament, we find all these promises of the Messiah to come. We find types and all sorts of things there in the old. There are posters everywhere from Genesis to Malachi. The circus is coming. The Savior is coming. In fact, so sure could people of that day be that the deliverer would come, they could stake their souls on it. They were so sure, just by hearing the announcements, just by
hearing the promises from God about what's to come, and they bought in. Just a couple chapters away, in chapter 4 of the book of Romans, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. What did he believe? All of the promises of what's to come. But he's not here yet. The circus isn't in town yet, but I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure he's coming. God promised. Imagine God promising anything to sinners. But as good as his word can be, God pledged the coming attraction of his son to be born, to live, to die, to rise. It's coming. That's the Old Testament. That's what's back there. That's why Paul starts this book, which is one of the best explanations of the gospel, all these chapters that are coming. He said, let's start in the Old Testament. The New Testament writers keep reminding us that before Jesus ever came, the good news was all over the place. It was told as promises. If you read Peter's first sermon, chapter 2, he does this. If you see Philip the evangelist, he does this. If you see Paul's first sermon, they keep looking back to the Old Testament. The scriptures say, the scriptures tell us, the scriptures give us, that's their foundation. That's what brings them along. He says, it's all there. It's all there. The verses that Massimo read earlier, that account that Jesus said, well, I'll take the Moses and the prophets and all those, and I'll talk to you about me. You see why I said that accurate thinking of the gospel, the good news, must begin at the book of Genesis, at the beginning of the human race. What took place from Jesus' birth onward was fulfillment of promises. It was the coming of what all the posters showed there through those 39 Old Testament books. Well, I just encourage you to read the Old Testament looking forward. You know, if we only read the Old Testament like stories about animals on an ark, about brave giant killers, about survivors of lions' dens, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the main point. We're going to miss the real thing. If we just take those stories as stories. No. All of that somehow is a poster, an announcement. We need to look for the gospel, the good news of the coming attraction of the Son of God in the Old Testament. Is that how you read it? Is that how you look at it? Read the Old Testament in that way, as if those people got right with God just like you do, by believing the promises. That's why we can evangelize, witness to Jewish people. Did you know that? Why would we ever witness to the Jewish people? Well, because they have to come to understand that their whole history was an announcement of a coming Savior, and he's come. Paul begins his letter to the Romans about the gospel, referring to the gospel in promise form. Point D, it was a message through prophets. We've seen that here, which he promised before through his prophets. How did God get his good news known? He enlisted people to tell it. Isaiah through Malachi, their prophets. If you read through the New Testament, you'll find it refers to Moses as a prophet, David as a prophet, even with all the other things they did. You can bring all of these together. God had spokesmen for thousands of years, one after another, and all they were was tacking up billboards, tacking up posters, tacking up signs, putting ads in the paper, doing everything they could to get the message out. The prophets. You know, don't you, words that they gave. Let's see, Isaiah 7:14 talks about the virgin birth. Isaiah 9:6, a son would be given, a child would be born. You know those words, Christmas time. It's all the prophets. That's what Paul is saying. He promised before through his prophets. They're everywhere. They're talking about this coming one. It was all gospel. Point E, it was a message in Scripture. I like the way it's put here. He separated me to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. I want to ask you, do you read your Bible? Do you read the Old Testament? Do you read it just like Paul wants us to? Looking for the gospel. Gospel, that came when Jesus came, didn't it? No. Good news was there way before. Holy writings. Paul is basically saying, if you don't believe me, read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. Consult what's there. God's promise is as reliable as he is. His words through the prophets are the truth. The good news is in the Old Testament for everyone to discover if they want to. I just urge you to read the Old Testament scripture writings, venerate, honor, respect them, be drawn to them. Go there because you're looking for the gospel. Go and find the posters that point ahead. And then lastly, it was a message about Jesus. You know what a periscope is? A periscope? You know that thing on submarines that a guy pulls down, he can look. And what does he do? He can turn all the way around with that periscope to see everything that's up there. Peri. The first part of this word in verse 3, concerning, is our word peri. In other words, you can look all around in the Old Testament and you're going to find Jesus. The scriptures, his prophets and the Holy Scripts concerning his son Jesus, he's just everywhere. Look all around for him. Pastor Paul Laboutier, as I say his name, is a pastor in Oregon, develops this point wonderfully. When you read the Old Testament, put your periscope up. Another word that we have is the word perimeter. The perimeter of the building or the land, it's all the way around. Jesus is the perimeter of everything. He's everywhere. There's no spiritual good news without news about Jesus. There's not a gospel of God apart from telling sinners who Jesus is and what he did. Now listen to me. Telling teenagers to remain pure is not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Reminding children to be kind is not the good news. Encouraging workmen to be honest is not the gospel either. Now, all of those things are good, and all of those things are fine, and all of those things are right, but they're not the gospel. We might raise good kids that are lost. The gospel, he tells us here, is concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's all about him. There's good news from Genesis through Revelation because it clarifies who Jesus is. Now, the information was sketchy at first and not much, but it grew, and it was enough to start, and it kept growing and growing and growing. More information was added until finally it all climaxed in the Son of God on earth. There was gospel before Jesus came. It was all over the place because Jesus is all over the place in the Old Testament. It was a message, and that's Paul's foundation for ever getting into a discussion of New Testament gospel. He says, I want you to be anchored in the Old Testament. Start there. Back up. Go way back to the beginning and get yourself a solid footing in the Old Testament about Jesus. Because if you get to Malachi and you haven't found Jesus, something's wrong. So, conclusion. Listen again to the rhymes. The old is by the new explained. You go from bud to full-blown blossom. The new is in the old contained. Here's an oak tree. Here's an acorn. It's all in there. It just has to grow more and expand. The new is in the old concealed. The old is by the new revealed. They go together. At least today, remember the title. The gospel before Jesus came. We're talking about him coming, yes. But it's important to know the gospel before he came as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us Paul's words from your Spirit about the Old Testament and Jesus who is all around in that Old Testament. Give us solid clarity about this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.